Hello, everybody, and welcome to Los Fanboys by the Numbers, where every Monday I look over this past weekend at the box office. Usually it's from the domestic perspective, but of course I take in worldwide numbers into account as I do it, because as we know, the worldwide market is becoming increasingly important. It's no longer super focused on North America. But let's go ahead and talk about what came out. First of all, Escape Room was the only big movie to come out in this weekend, and didn't do bad. But let's go ahead and run down the top 10 performers of the weekend before we delve deeper into a few other properties. Starting at number one, we have Aquaman with 30.7 million. Number two, Escape Room with 18 million. Number three, Mary Poppins Returns with 15.8 million. Number four, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, 13 million. Number five, Bumblebee, 12.8 million. Number six, The Mule, 9.0 million. Number seven, Vice, 5.8 million. Number eight, Second Act, 4.9 million. Nine, Ralph Breaks the Internet, 4.7 million. And number 10, Holmes and Watson, $3.4 million. So that's what we're looking at from sort of a very high perspective, but let's delve deeper. So let's start with Aquaman. Aquaman is still going strong after a few weekends at the box office. It took in $30.7 million, as I mentioned, only dropping 41.7% from its second weekend. So while the movie's opening wasn't really that great, it was like around $67 million or so, which is by far the lowest grossing opening domestically, or excuse me, the lowest opening domestically for any DCEU movie, it's managed to kind of give all the other movies runs for their money, if that's the right way to say it. Because it's gone on to make $940 million worldwide, it's definitely going to break a billion from the looks of it. If it continues this trajectory, it'd be the first DCEU movie to break $1 billion. Even though only around 24 or 25% of this movie, of these ticket sales are from North America, it's very clear that, you know, the rest of the world is very important for Warner Brothers, and it seems like they are noticing it. The way they released this one was very strategic. It released in China, I believe, a couple weeks early, and several other markets early. The U.S. became kind of an afterthought. But even now in the U.S., it seems to be doing pretty well for itself. Like I said, only dropping around 41% from its second weekend, and it actually had a theater increase. The number of theaters it was at increased slightly. It is not necessarily performing outside the park, kind of like Wonder Woman did a couple years back in the United States, but it's kind of proving that word of mouth is overall strong. People seem to be enjoying the movie, and at the end of the day, that really is the most important part, and we've noticed that more and more as the years have gone on, especially with these big blockbuster movies, that fan opinion is the most important thing. Word of mouth is the most important thing because it will tank or it will help increase the numbers based on overall reception. We're no longer in a world where we tolerate shitty big blockbuster movies anymore. That era is gone. Transformers was like the last dying breath of that. And even now, you know, they have Bumblebee, which is a fantastic movie from what I've heard. That's not doing well, but that has more to do with the franchise fatigue more than anything. So yeah, we live in a pretty good era. I've said this before on the main podcast, there has never been a better time to be a fan of these big blockbuster movies because they are so good, because they have to be good. They have to appeal to us in one way or another. All right, moving on. Number two, Escape Room, taking in $18 million in its opening weekend. It has a $9 million budget, so with that in mind, it's likely already made its money back. Not sure how much they put into marketing, but if they haven't made their money back, they're probably going to be making it back very soon and making a nice profit off of this one. Not a huge surprise. It is really the kind of film that would be right at home at Blumhouse, and it has a very high concept premise. One that, you know, is very much embedded in our culture, you know, the culture of escape rooms. If you haven't done an escape room, they are fantastic. I recommend you check it out. They're usually like $25 to go in. You basically get locked in a room. You have to solve puzzles to get out. Obviously, this gives it sort of a horror slant. And yeah, that's, I could see the appeal of it. The movie didn't do very well critically. It got a 54% on Rotten Tomatoes. Not bad per se, you know, that, to be clear, that doesn't mean an F. I know a lot of people look at that and think, oh, that's an F. It's not an F. It means that over half of the critics enjoyed the movie or, you know, gave a positive review for it. So keep that in mind. But it has a B cinema score. Now that sounds pretty good, but generally speaking, a cinema score below B plus generally isn't amazing. It means that the audiences really are kind of lukewarm on it and not great. It's not super enthusiastic. So I think this means this movie may not have a great tale at the box office because they're not really going to be telling their friends about it, audiences. And like I said, that's very important. But we'll see. You never know. The box office is ultimately unpredictable, and it's hard to tell if certain statistics or figures are completely accurate. But that's Escape Room. In third place, we have Mary Poppins Returns, taking in $15.8 million in its third weekend. Now, I kind of want to take a look at this movie. This movie is very interesting to me because it started off very soft, $23.5 million. Now, this is a movie with a $130 million budget, so right away, it's like red flags because that doesn't seem like on its way to making any money whatsoever. But it really surprised the next weekend when it had an increase to around $28 million in its overall box office for that weekend. And once again, these are all domestic numbers. So in this weekend, it only dropped 44% from that increase to make, $15.8 million in its third weekend. Now, it's not necessarily doing gangbusters, but so far it's made $257.9 million worldwide. Again, it has a $130 million budget. So it probably hasn't made a profit yet if we're including all of the marketing costs, but it's not bad. It could be well on its way to making a sizable profit, or at least a decent profit, enough to justify its existence and enough to really, keep this from being a disaster like The Nutcracker or Wrinkle in Time, other live action movies that Disney has done in recent times. Nutcracker came out a couple months ago. A Wrinkle in Time, was that a year ago? I don't even remember. But yeah, those movies didn't make much money, so at least it's not one of those. Not that Disney is really wanting for money. They obviously own Star Wars. They own Marvel. And they pretty much have had their biggest year with Avengers Infinity War. So they're not hurting. But when it comes to their non-Marvel, non-Star Wars live action stuff, this is a good sign for them. Or at least a decent sign for them. What other movies are there? Let's take a look at Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. This movie so far has made $275.3 million worldwide. This makes me happy. I was worried for a while that this would wallow and it would not make that. Like, it was like 100 plus million slightly not too long ago. And now it seems to be doing pretty well for itself. I'm really happy. I think this is a movie that deserves to make more. But as long as it's made a profit and as long as people are enjoying it, I'm okay with it. Like, I like to reward creativity. And this is one of my favorite movies of last year, potentially my favorite movie of last year that I saw. And I love giving movies a chance that really kind of stretch for something different. And this is a capital example of that. So good job, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. And congrats on your Golden Globe win. I don't think a lot of people saw that coming, considering, the competition out there, and we were kind of worried that the Golden Globes would kind of, thumb their nose. Is that the expression? Thumb their nose at sort of a superhero type movie, especially in a category that is permeated by the likes of Pixar and Disney Animation. So congrats. Bumblebee. This is another one I wanted to keep an eye on because Bumblebee, it comes on the heels of a very, very, very bad movie. A few bad movies. Mostly bad movies. Like five other movies that people most likely or generally did not like. The first one I liked. A lot of people didn't. Second one, third, fourth. I fell off, but I did not like any of the movies that I saw other than the first one. And this seemed to be a turn in the right direction. So it had a budget of $135 million. It's only made $289 million worldwide. As of right now, I wouldn't be surprised if this thing was still in the hole. I'm really hoping that the studio, Paramount, is able to see that this is not a reflection of the quality of the movie. This was a very well-reviewed movie. This was a very well-received movie by fans. And hopefully they'll be able to, extend this vision of the franchise into something that is more, not wholesome, heartfelt, than just metal on metal grindy action, which the five previous films became. So hopefully this is, they're able to say, okay, we're going to continue on in that direction. And then hopefully the sequel, whatever that sequel is, maybe it's Bumblebee 2 or maybe it's, you know, Optimus Prime movie or whatever. Hopefully the sequels are more in keeping with this and that their box office reflects the quality of Bumblebee, as it were. All right, what else is there to talk about in terms of random movies at the box office? Ralph Breaks the Internet is another one. It's made $404 million worldwide. Didn't really do amazing. As of right now, it's around nearly 100 million short of its predecessor, Wreck-It Ralph, which made $471 million. So actually, I'd say closer to $65 million away from that. So I thought it would be a bigger hit than it was in terms of box office. Not sure what happened there. But when all said and done, I think it still made a profit, though a slim profit, because the budget was $175 million. You take into account all of the marketing and the theater cut, you're cutting it close there. But yeah, that pretty much wraps up all of the movies I want to talk about. This coming weekend, we have A Dog's Way Home. We have Replicas, which is that new movie starring Keanu Reeves. The week following that, we have probably the biggest release of the month, and that is Glass, which is the long-awaited M. Night Shyamalan movie that sees us return to the world of Unbreakable, and that we saw a little bit of resurgence from a couple years ago with Split, which was a huge surprise for a lot of people. So those we have to look forward to. Actually, there's one other movie I do want to touch on, and I forgot about it because it kind of fell out of the box office, and that is The Crimes of Grindelwald. Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald. As of right now, this movie's made $630 million worldwide. Not bad, not great. I mean, this is a Wizarding World movie, so you'd expect it to break that, to hopefully break $800 million. The first one, I believe, was like $870 million off the top of my head. But yeah, not this one. $630, a relatively substantial fall off from its predecessor. I'm curious to see what the future of this franchise is, and if they're going to be able to continue this direction, or if they're going to have to rein in J.K. Rowling, or maybe just cancel it altogether. Once again, this movie looks like it is profitable. It is making money from the looks of it here. I don't see how this could not be profitable at this point. But it's not necessarily a good trajectory for the franchise, so maybe some changes are in order. I'm interested to see what they are. But anyways, what did you think of this past weekend at the box office? What did you think of these big movies that we are talking about here? Let us know in the comments down below. And of course, be sure to check back in this coming Wednesday. We're going to be releasing LRM Ranks It Podcast, the new podcast, which is not going to be exactly the same as the LRM Ranks It video, which we have on our YouTube channel, but rather a more in-depth conversation of the ranks in those videos. So check out those videos at our YouTube channel, LRM Online. And on Thursday, we will have I'd Buy That for a Dollar, where Stefan and Kyle are going to be going over a interesting B-type movie. More on that on Thursday when we actually get to the review. And then, of course, on Friday, we'll be back for the latest in film and TV news with our standard Los Fanboys podcast. Finally, of course, go to LRMonline.com for all the latest film and TV news. We're also going to be expanding, opening our doors to new writers soon. And by soon, I mean today. So if you have an interest in writing for the site, if you're an expert in a TV show, like a Marvel TV show that's really your darling, or a DC TV show that's really your darling, or you want to cover something like anime or Game of Thrones or a Netflix show like Stranger Things or any of those, if you're like an expert in one particular arena and would love to contribute on that level, this is the time for you to do so. The post will be up on the site later on today. So keep an eye out for it. But until then, adios.